What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Hello! Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck. This is Jillian Sarowski, and with me, as always, is my adorable kitty Suki on my lap. Josh is here, too.
Yeah, would this be the same Suki that actually stole the memory card out of your Xbox?
Oh my gosh, she did. It wasn't the memory card, it was my USB flash drive. And she just, like, ripped it out and ran away with it. Luckily, it wasn't on, or I would have been uber pissed. So, speaking of Xbox, all right, as you guys know, unless you're a brand new listener, we do a Dumbest Thing segment.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Our Dumbest Thing segment tonight is the first segment, and as I have been kind of alluding to on our Facebook page, the forum and Geek Juice, it's on the Xbox One. And, oh, speaking of the Facebook page, if you guys haven't gone to it, if you don't know about it, we've kind of forgotten about pimping it. Go to facebook.com/talkwhat. You can like, you can submit us stories, you know, just like chat about things, and we'll have notices and whatnot for you there. It was a little inactive in the past, and we've gotten a lot better about keeping it up to date for you guys. But anywho, okay, back to the subject. We're going to try and let Josh say some words here, but as you guys probably know, I'm a huge gamer nerd. This upsets me, but not to the fact of, oh, I'm so pissed, I really wanted this system. It's more so, like, really, is this where we are now? Is this... So many gamers are in an uproar, and the company keeps trying to, quote-unquote, fix things, but by doing so, fixing things, they're basically saying, oh, okay, you can do this now, but they're putting a shit ton of limitations on it, so you might as well not even have it. First, I'm going to go into the demo. In case you missed it, there was a demo release a few weeks ago. Everything is a very Kinect-based. For those of you who know about the Kinect in the past, it's very Minority Report. You use hand gestures. And so the Kinect that came out for the 360 was unsuccessful. And basically, everybody feels like a test audience because they are incorporating the Kinect into the Xbox One. The problem here is everything's hand gestures, voice commands. They're saying it's the Xbox One because it's the one box you'll need. It's all in one. It's got TV, you know, your gaming, all of the stuff. One of the features is, oh, it's picture in picture. So if you're playing your game, you can say Comedy Central and it'll bring up Comedy Central picture in picture. First of all, if I'm playing a video game, I'm not going to want to be watching TV to the side while I'm playing it. Second of all, if you were ever gaming as a kid or you still game, you know, siblings are assholes. And they would go up and they would unplug your controller and fuck up your game. Well, now they can stand behind you and just make hand gestures or say something and then your game goes completely away.
Well, I just thought of something. So yes. So then what happens if something in the game triggers something that, you know, dialogue in the game triggers turning to MTV or something?
Probably not an issue with how games go and the voice commands, but my concern was, all right, let's say you're having a party, 15, 20 people around. You're playing video games, you're drinking, you're having a good time. Somebody is suddenly saying, like, oh my God, I've seen this new show, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, oh, where's it air? Comedy Central. Boom, Comedy Central pops up.
I think that's bullshit. I don't like the Kinect. I don't like voice commands. Okay, I've said my piece. Go ahead.
And you can turn off the gestures and some of the voice command features, and you can access the system via a smartphone device or just a smart device, whether you have a tablet, whatever, or the controller itself. The thing is, you cannot run the system by turning off the Kinect. You can pause the commands, but you cannot turn it off. The system must be connected to the internet to do updates at least once every 24 hours. We'll get into if a friend's using your system, because that's a whole new ballgame. So back to the demo really quick. A lot of people were in a hubbub because they didn't really show many of the games. They showed maybe three or four games, a handful. Pretty much seemed like they should have been calling it the Bro Box because the demo was very geared towards kind of the bro gamers. You had, you know, the NBA games, the Call of Duty, fantasy football feature thing and app. And I was asking, like, are there that many people that do fantasy? Usually it's one or the other. I remember working at places. I got made fun of for being a gamer and they were all fantasy football stuff. And the big joke was you guys are essentially playing D&D with basketball players and football players. So, you know, there's that. There was a huge demo on the Call of Duty dog. And there was actually a Twitter going around, a Twitter profile of, and I forget what it was called, Call of Duty, that you could follow because it was just kind of this instant meme because they were doing 3D mapping and all of this stuff to show the graphics. And they were focusing on the dog of Call of Duty. There was also some kind of a battleship war thing going on, and they had live excerpts, and it's unclear whether those were cutscenes in the game or kind of to commercialize it. My issue with that is if it's live cutscenes, and you know, they had that back in like Sega CD, things like that, but you weren't playing the character in the cutscenes. And this led me to believe within the cutscenes, it was one of your characters that you play. And I could be wrong on this, but there's not a whole lot of information. To me, seeing a live actor, and I mean, this clear as crystal day, I'm not talking like, you know, via video thing or whatever, like this was like you were watching a TV show. So that was disjointed, not one of my main issues. I'm basically, maybe I should just do a review video on this. What it's turning into. Okay, enough on the demo because a lot of information has come out since then. Big concern because they didn't release that much information in the demo. They still haven't released a set price. My figuring and going from experience is I'm thinking this thing's going to be $600 or $700 easy. The Kinect was $300 or $400 when it came out. I know it got bumped down to like $299, $350. So you've got this Kinect that has to be with the system. And
I think it was Forbes.com did an analysis after the demo, and I think they estimated with all the features and all the blah, blah, blahs that it would not be less than $600. There's no way Microsoft could make a profit if it was less than $600.
Yeah, and when the PS3 came out, they released it at like $500, and there was this huge uproar, and the price got dropped immediately. 3DS from Nintendo got released
The 3DO back in the 90s by Trip Hawkins, $1,992, $799 start price in $1,992.
Yeah, and so, well, I mean, NES games used to be $40, $50, so, you know, there's that. So within this demo, they didn't release a whole lot of information. They still haven't released the price. They didn't really go into a lot of trading games, used games, rentals, whether it had to be on disc or downloadable. They've released a little more information on that, and it's really confusing. I've watched videos of that went into more of it. I've read articles, and even the people that are in the gaming industry and report on this stuff all the time kind of went through it and they're like, yeah, it's a little confusing. And, you know, they throw the paper behind them. So even these game experts, so to speak, that report on all of this news are still unclear with the information Microsoft is releasing. You can play both retail and digital. That has come out. As for used games, they're leaving it up to the publishers, and the publishers of the game dictate whether or not you can trade it. How it goes, it's basically you're giving licensing. So if you have a friend and you're like, I don't want this game anymore, here, you can give the rights to that friend. And I believe there's a fee. Like, this is all really disjointed of the information that has come out. Once you do that, you don't own the game anymore. If a friend is playing on their account on your Xbox, the Xbox must go online every hour to make sure there's no shenanigans going on. So basically, you're being monitored to make sure you're not playing something you're not supposed to be playing. They have to sign onto their account. Like, it's just, it's really messy. Renting games, it sounds like you're not really going to be able to. They've talked about used games being able to play for perhaps a fee or through this whole, like, giving a games through friends. And again, the used game thing is going to be up to the publisher. So if a publisher says, nope, you can't do used games, then you can't. Basically, Microsoft is changing the definition of used games and trade-ins. As for borrowing a game, again, this is very cloudy on the way they described it. Essentially, to borrow a game, your friend has to come over and be playing it with you on their account. You cannot have access to a game that is not registered on your system. It says that you can have up to 10 people in your family using one account. Now, how they verify whether it's family only, you know, is unclear. Like, it's just unfounded. How are you going to know this? This also leads into something that has been rumored around, and there's not a lot more information on it. But since this is also a cable box, they were talking about limiting how many people, like, if you go to On Demand and you rent a movie through your cable, what was being said is depending how many people are watching, you may have to pay more if a certain amount of people are sitting down watching the movie, which also means Kinect is watching you guys. This is crazy. And they've come out and said, be like, it's not always watching you, it's not always this, but I mean, it does have to be facing forward. There's been kind of like rumors and then unfounded information but confirmed information that It monitors you, uploads things to the cloud, but not without your information. But anyone who's used Facebook kind of knows how that goes, because they always change something and update it, and you have to keep going back and saying, no, you don't have my permission to do this. So that's kind of scary. It's like, I don't want, with the Kinect, they would kind of face map you and put you into like certain games, and you have your little avatar thing. There's been talk about like heart rate monitoring. I don't know if that's a joke. I've been seeing that a lot. So basically, anyway, there is going to be information uploaded to cloud and certain things, unless you specifically go in there and say, no, you can't have it. But that's kind of scary that the Kinect can detect how many people are watching something and just monitor you, because obviously it's going to have to know your face to see if you are the person playing your account. Kind of like if you go to a fitness center and you swipe your key card and it brings up, you know, the picture of your face, but more so it's a live feed. Something kind of comical I thought of, it's like, okay, so if this thing, if you're being monitored, not necessarily 24/7, but if you're, you know, watching TV or whatever, what if you just decide to bang in your living room? Like you're watching a movie, you guys get hot. The moderators, are they going to have kind of like a, oh, dude, over at this place, look at this. So, but I mean, obviously that's joking, but
it's like that scene in Kentucky Fried Movie where the newscasters are watching the couple have sex on the couch. Remember that?
Right. Yes.
That's what it made me think of. But
I mean, what if it's really hot and you play games like, you know, in your bra or whatever, which I totally never do, even though it gets up to like 85 degrees in my apartment sometimes, but I live alone.
Yeah, you
so
totally never,
I do
yeah,
that.
You totally never do. Sure.
No.
All right.
Not at all.
So I've got some things to say about this. I think what you're trying to get to, because you're
not doing this well.
No, you're fangirling it a little bit. You're fangirling it a little bit.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not fangirling it because I don't like the system.
Fan raging.
It's not even rage. It's more so I think I'm going more into video game reporting.
The more practical, why did they do this kind of lines, the more
conspiratorial.
But it's suicide. This is company
they don't think
suicide.
So.
People do not want this. People do not want to have to be connected to the internet. Did they learn nothing from that new SimCity? Did they learn nothing from the fact that people are against the destruction of the used game market? Why have we as gamers, Jillian, why have we taken so much shit from the gaming industry? When are we as gamers going to stand the fuck up and say, you have crossed the line this far? This far, no more. I will not buy your shit anymore.
Well, that's basically what happens, is they try and respond to all of this quote unquote feedback or outrage. And that's kind of like with the whole used game thing. Be like, oh, okay, you guys can do used games, but here's the specifications. There's mainstream statistics basically saying that the reaction is positive. Now, this is like Fox News, CNN, The Register, The Sun, everything is saying, well, 40% of the feedback on this is positive, 40% is indifferent, and only 20% is negative. However, these sources, I really am wondering the type of demographic, because if you're a casual gamer and you play, you know, the big titles, the Call of Duty, the Halo, and you watch TV and you do that, yeah, it sounds good. But at the same time, you've also got to look at 65% of America does not have access to the broadband internet that is required for this system. Does Microsoft care? No. And obviously, I realize that the rest of the percentile is not necessarily all gamers that are screwed. However, you have a lot of service people overseas that are gamers, and this is what they do after they complete their day. I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, they sit there, they play Halo, they play Call of Duty, they try and make a home environment as much as possible. And you're talking about people out in Iraq who don't have access to the internet. And I'm sure, you know, people are like, oh, well, whatever. It's like, okay, you know, you're serving our country, keeping us safe, but you can't play this system because you need internet. Also,
there are people
Sony's
in America
stock,
in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
That
no,
don't
exactly.
Have,
we've talked about that
my
before.
My uncle still is on dial up because he lives so far out in the country, there is no other option but dial up.
And they don't care about that demographic. They have
and that's
come out
what's
and
going
said,
to
we realize,
them.
Yeah. And I mean, sales talk. They will listen to sales. You know, you're going to have the diehard people that are like, no, this is awesome. I want Halo. I don't care. That's all I'll play it for. Also, if your system does not connect to the internet every 24 hours, basically it shuts down. It hasn't been said for how long, because here's the thing, they're wanting to monitor, make sure you're not doing anything bad, but it will not play games after it doesn't check in for 24 hours, or if it doesn't check in every hour if somebody else is using your system. They also have to be on your Xbox friends list for 30 days before you can do any interaction with trading games, them coming over with their game that's registered on their system, playing on their account. Sony stock skyrocketed during the presentation.
Like, I know, I so wish I'd bought it the day before.
I know, I need to like get in a time machine, and I'm just like, ah. Here is a big issue. Remember 2011, a hacker went ahead and went into Sony's network and for the PS3 and got a lot of information, causing Sony to completely shut down. PlayStation Network Online was down for a month, okay? They had to get all this rectified. You had a lot of the people of the Xbox being like, oh, you suck, blah, blah, blah. Sony game players were annoyed, but at the same time, they could still use their systems. So it wasn't a matter of, oh, shit, I can't connect to the internet. You know, my system's down completely. There's also, and of course, you know, it was embarrassing for Sony. They went ahead and did Uber rewards for people that were members of the online network, you know, try to make it right. Here's the thing. If this happens to Microsoft where they get hacked and it goes down, it lends reason to believe that you wouldn't even be able to watch TV because this is all one box and it has to update, you know, when you're using it once every 24 hours. So you're not going to be able to play your games, you know, if the internet goes down and it can't connect. You've got places where, you know, internet shortages go out. So if there's issues with internet in your area due to storms or just happenings, New York's been reported that at least once a year, like their internet for some reason goes out for like an entire week. So you're not going to be able to play your game system, this all-in-one box, the only console you'll ever need. So you're kind of screwed on that.
There's also a darker aspect to all this that I believe, and I don't think I'm going too far conspiracy nut on this, that like you brought up, that how your TV is bundled into this, your internet is bundled into this, the Kinect is watching you. Also remember, Jillian, we've talked about the Six Strikes copyright infringement law. So what happens if you get nailed with the copyright infringement law? You get blackballed from the internet. No ISP will take you. All of a sudden, you can't get TV. You can't even play a goddamn video game.
Well, they're going to be looking at that and be like, you're bad, you shouldn't be breaking the law. So
I think
they're obviously not concerned.
Well, first of all, you don't have to be breaking the law to get a strike against you, but that's a whole
different
topic.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying that's how they're looking at it.
You only have
it.
To be they're accused like,
well,
of it.
Bad. Right.
But this is the watershed moment. As a gamer, both myself and you, all of our listeners who are gamers, who are even casual gamers, this is the point where you have to throw down the gauntlet and say, I will not put up with this. I will not do this. You will not get over on me again. And I know far too many gamers back down. They go, I said that. Oh, there's no way I'm getting an Xbox 360. Oh, I really want to play that new game. I'll just get it for this one thing. That's the way they get you. Stand to your ideals. Microsoft needs to go bankrupt over this. The people need to say, I, as the consumer, hold the power. You, as the manufacturer, do not tell me what I can do with media I have purchased from you. God damn it, stand up, vote with your wallet.
And I mean, you know, as we said earlier, it does work because the PlayStation 3, when it was released, people were like, I'm not paying that much for it. And so if you're talking $700, $800 for this with all of the bullshit, yeah, you're going to have people that can't afford it, that are diehard Halo fans, that are diehard Call of Duty fans, etc., that will, you know, eat it up. Sony hasn't released a whole lot of information about their system. They've come out and said, yes, you can play used games. Now, whether they mean traditional used games in the sense that we know it, or this whole new thing that Microsoft is changing used games into with all of their rules and just weirdness and confusion,
DRM.
Unclear. They have come out and said that your system does not always have to be connected to the internet. Whether they stick to their guns or make alterations, making it more like the Xbox One, is unclear. I believe that if they stick to what they've been doing with gaming and just kind of the regular what a console system is instead of a PC cable box, people are going to go PlayStation. I mean, unless you are completely a diehard fan. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily like the Wii U, but I'll keep throwing my money at them as long as they're releasing Zelda. But I realize that, and I've always said that. I'm not like, ah, I'm boycotting it. And when it, if it
and
were
that's
to
the
get
same
this
mentality,
ridiculous...
That's the same mentality that Halo gamers are going to do. Oh, but I'm a Halo fan. I need to get a Xbox One to play Halo. I'll put up with their crap just for
and
Halo. That's how
like
they
I
get
said,
you.
I am not, and like I said, I am not angry about the system. I am more so in shock of what they're trying to turn gaming into. The Wii U is still a gaming system. Pretty much the biggest issue I have with it is that fucking tablet. Is that going to stop me from playing games? No, it's not. Like, okay, if this Xbox One, if that was the new Nintendo system, honestly, I would say I'm done. I would give up Zelda. It would be sad, but I mean, that's how much that's wrong with this system. And I'm not upset being like, oh, wow, blah, blah. I just think it's insane what they're trying to do. And it's like, you've got PC emulators, you've got all of this stuff. And it's like, you know what? Consoles should not have to be connected to the internet. You should not need the internet to play a console system. You know,
no,
there should not be all of these crazy restrictions. And I know like the whole backwards compatibility thing is a big thorn in the side for people, but I'm kind of used to it at this point, and that is the least of the issues that
that's
I have
the
with
problem.
The system.
That's the problem, Jillian. You're used to it, because that's what the video game industry does. Grab you in such small increments. Well, first it's just this, and then it's just this, and then it's just this, and then after a while you realize that they have all the power.
You know what, though? I keep
we
my
do.
Old system,
but
so
we
I don't
should
care.
Have the power. We should have the power as the consumer.
Right, but like I said, personally, I get it. Like, yeah, it's great when systems are backwards compatible. I don't need my GameCube hooked up because the Wii will play GameCube games. They ended up coming out with a different model to where they don't. I'm just saying, in my opinion, that doesn't bother me because I keep my old systems. And here's the thing, too. You've got people coming out saying that they're a gamer, and they don't have a problem with this, but a lot of these people also pretty much only play Halo, or they only play Call of Duty, and you know what? That's fine. Then you're a casual gamer.
They are casual gamers, yes.
And we've talked about this before, because it doesn't necessarily make you a gamer that you play a game. You know, I play WoW on the computer. I don't consider myself a PC gamer. I'm like, well, no, I just play one game on the computer. You have people that play WoW that consider themselves gamers. And it's like, no, you're not a gamer. That's the only game you play, you know, like ever. You know, so, I mean, there's that whole aspect of, you know, they're appealing to the casual gamer as well. And I can kind of see if you're a casual gamer and you play one or two games or whatever, yeah, you're probably not going to have a huge issue with this. But with the voice commands, the gestures, the needing to be connected to the internet, the whole watching to an extent over the Kinect, obviously it's not watching you 24/7, but the whole bullshit on like, oh, your friend comes over, it's watching you because there's a different account on your system and it's got to update every hour to make sure that, you know, no shenanigans are going on. And it's just, I don't know, it's
open
a lot to take in.
I just picture that Kinect eye looking at me, and I'm going, I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave.
Yeah. We are one. We are the Xbox One.
You have the power. As the consumer, you have all the power. I want to see all gamers come together and stand up and say, no, I will not let you push me around anymore. Take back the power. Bankrupt Microsoft. Fuck the new Halo game. Fuck the new Call of Duty. Say you're not going to do it. The problem is most of you are going to do it. Most of you are going to cave in. Most of you are going to get an Xbox One. You're going to deal with the sanctions they want to put on you. And you're going to say, well, I'm still enjoying the game. And they win again.
Okay, real quick. Microsoft at E3 is paying game publishers that have cross-platform games for both the Sony and Xbox to not show the Sony versions at E3. So this move is kind of, you know, they're recognizing that, oh, we're in a little bit of trouble here. Because by doing this, obviously, you know, people are going to know that, okay, well, this is going to come out for the PS4 as well. However, casual gamers won't know. And so they're hoping to appear that like, hey, we've got all of these release titles and the Sony doesn't, when indeed it does, but they are buying out these publishers and paying them a shit ton of money to be like, nope, don't mention it. Just talk about us and show ours. And
see, that shows right there their desperation. That shows just how much power we do have, that they are on a precipice. We can push them over.
As you all know, when a system first comes out, it's bugged to hell. And it takes a lot to fix.
Red Ring of Death.
There is just so much in this that has catastrophic consequences should something go wrong, not to mention the hacking aspect. And because it's taking in all this information of you, that's more that hackers have access. And if it were to go down for a month, and that is your only source of TV, your only source of gaming, because it has to connect to the internet to update, if there's an outage of any kind, you're basically fucked. I mean, I don't even really have cable TV, so all of that would be pointless for me regardless.
Take back your rights as a consumer. Hart, a few weeks ago and on the Heart Attack show, we talked about that rapper kid who was arrested for his evil, vile, terroristic rap lyrics, remember?
Yeah, well, you know, luckily he got off. They let him out. I don't know what's happened since then, but thank God the fucking kid's not in jail anymore.
The fact that he spent, what was it, a month
in jail? Yeah, he was in jail for a month.
That's sick on its own.
Dude, for a rap song. And we pay for that. Here's the thing that really bothers me when we're just jailing people for nothing, you know what I mean? We're just throwing people in jail for jackass shit. We pay for that. When you throw somebody in a prison, we, the taxpayer, have to pay for it. We pay their rent. We pay their electricity. We pay to clothe them. We buy them food. We got to have a guard to watch them. If they get sick, we got to pay for their health care. There's a great fucking cost for putting people in prison. But because some people are making money on it, they fucking can't wait to get some poor guy with shitty legal representation and ram him into the fucking hole of the American justice system.
Speaking of, and no, this is not really an even segue, but remember the Steubenville rape case? Remember how...
Which one is that? I mean, dude, there's so many. I've got all this rape shit happening here in Occidental College right down the street from me. We have a local college that Obama went to, and they're all for removing vehicles from the streets and putting in these bike lanes, but they love to hush up rape. They've had a real problem with rape on their campus, and they've been hushing it up, and they haven't been prosecuting the criminals, and these poor girls are just getting swept under the carpet, because yet again, it's talk, talk, talk about what's going to make the money, and when people get hurt, let's just sweep it under the carpet. So what's this Steubenville thing?
Charlie McMullen and I talked about it, and we were both incensed, and the case just kept getting worse. In Steubenville, Ohio, the local football team, you know, the leaders of the football team, gang raped a girl on camera. They videotaped it all on their iPhones. They gang raped her. She was underage, and so were they.
Was she drugged?
No, she was drunk at a party.
But was she drugged, too?
But she was just drunk.
Okay.
And they gang raped her, and then they were all laughing about it, and they pissed on her and all this, and they were gloating about it.
Dude, they fucking pissed on her?
They pissed on her, yes. And they were
gloating. What the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with these kids?
Just hold on. It's going to get worse. Yeah, it's going to get worse. So they started posting all the photos and the video on Facebook and gloating about it. Now, the football championship was coming up.
Are these fucking rich kids with rich daddy?
Yes.
Oh, motherfucker, of course.
So the football championship was coming up. No one in town wanted to prosecute. Even the local sheriff didn't even want to investigate. Why? He is on the board who stands to make money if they win the local championship. Eventually, they took down all their videos and anything incriminating. Well, a hacker from the Anonymous group, which normally I like to give shit to, a hacker from the Anonymous group went in, got all the videos, got all the photos, and forwarded them right to the FBI, bypassing these police officers who didn't do anything.
Dudes. Dude, that's child porn. They're fucking using child porn laws to go after people for sexting. What the fuck?
It gets worse. Just hold on. It's still going to get worse. So the FBI then steps in, and the Steubenville boys get arrested, and they eventually get convicted because of this video that the police didn't even want to obtain. Now, the Steubenville boys were seen as CNN actually had one of their reporters say on camera, isn't it a shame that these poor, great football players have their entire lives ruined because of a single mistake? Okay, that's infuriating enough on its own. Well, the FBI went and raided the hacker today. He's looking at three times as much jail time as the rapist because he violated telecommunications laws.
What?
I'm not joking. He is looking at over 10 years in prison for exposing a crime that nobody wanted to prosecute.
A fucking gang rape of a minor where they're urinating on this poor fucking girl.
Uh-huh.
You know, man, I had this exact kind of thing happen to me. I don't talk about my violence. I mean, I talk about it, but man, I had a girlfriend who was kidnapped out of her apartment and put into intensive care by a cop's kid. And I'm the one that held her hand through the whole rape interview at the police. I'm the one that got her to go. And we didn't know this guy was a cop's kid. We didn't know. He was a security guard at a local factory. I don't want to give out the name. And this guy had grabbed her out of her house and beat her up and drugged her back to his place. And he beat her so bad that her brain wasn't telling the body to breathe anymore. And we went to the police with this. I didn't find out about it till she got out of the hospital. And she came to me to talk to me about it. And she was an ex-girlfriend. We weren't like girlfriend, boyfriend at that time, but we were friends. She was a good person. A really good person. And she'd been abused as a child. She got flinchy around cameras. So I convinced her to go to the police, and I convinced her, because I had just dealt with this issue before. I had a girlfriend that was raped by a coworker where I worked at a bar called Mabel's. This guy was fucked up. He raped her, and that's a whole other story. But this particular thing where this girl had been put into intensive care by this guy, and he had a record. He had a record. When we went to the police, they knew exactly who he was. And then we found out he was a cop's kid, and the police told my friend that she should probably leave town for a little while. And that kid never got picked up. She went out and she hid, and this has galled me to this day. This has bothered me for a large part of my life. So when I hear these Republicans talk about, oh, she was really rapeable. You motherfucker. You motherfucker. Hey, fuck! They have no idea the collateral damage that happens from a rape. It affects everyone. Every part of the family, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, and it's going to be part of your life for the rest of your life. It gets in your head, even when and your girlfriend or your boyfriend, it affects everybody in your fucking life. And it's serious, man. It's fucking serious. So when I hear these people not taking it seriously, like all the rape that's been happening in the military, you and I have been talking about rape in the military before John McCain ever got involved. And we were saying, I really wouldn't. I'm a fan of the armed services, you know. I got friends that, again, are in all phases of the military, but you hear about how they handle these rapes, and you hear that rape is epidemic in the military. I think it's a part of this I don't give a fuck attitude. I'm going to get mine, and it's from the top down, like this Obama. fuck you, it's a drone strike, suck it, it's a signature kill. You know, I have to say, with this Obama stuff, I'm so disappointed in him. He came on board and got elected with the message that he was going to repeal all this Bush stuff. So now we find out, can you imagine if these rich kids' daddies were connected. Give it a couple more years. They could have been able to tap into that girl's phone calls and get fucking phone conversations from 3 years ago. Because they're not just tapping me and you. They're tapping everybody, including the kids and the teenagers. Uh-huh. Everybody, man. And so if they want a lever on you, they're going to research your background and try to make your phone calls look different than they are. Because it's really easy to take a quote out of context and spin it into anything you want. So this thing with this fucking hackers, why are they even bothering him? Why are they? He's working with law enforcement. He's doing what a good American is supposed to do. Why the fuck are they even bothering him?
I have a feeling it's to make a point, because I think they don't want, you know, those in power don't want this kind of thing to happen again. They're going to make a public display of this guy, and they're going to scare anyone else who, the next time a Steubenville rape type case comes up, maybe he'll think twice about getting involved when local law enforcement won't. I also want to quick add, there's a documentary out. I haven't seen it yet. There's a new documentary out about rape in the military called The Invisible War. I've heard nothing but great things about it, that it's really informative, and it's even going to get this. Talk about how jingoistic even the Oscars are. They are thinking about not allowing it to get an Oscar nomination for Best Documentary because pro-American, because it makes America look bad.
We are bad. What the fuck? You know, do you know how many veterans are still waiting for their fucking veterans pay? How many veterans are still waiting for their health benefits to kick in? It's disgusting how we have handled our nation's warriors. What was that documentary, dude?
The Invisible War.
Well, I'm starting something new on Heart Attack. Listeners at home, we are going to be giving homework assignments every week now on Heart Attack. And this week, like I did on my hour-long show, if you guys didn't know, I have an hour-long show that's on before What the Fuck. So Heart Attack has its own show now. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Josh. You guys should get involved. And so here's my homework assignment for you this week. I want you to go out, and there's a new film on DVD you could rent. It's called Snitch. I want you to go watch Snitch and listen to Heart Attack next week, because we're going to discuss it. Otherwise, look for me on Twitter, Heart_Fisher. Find me on Facebook. You can find Heart Attack on Facebook, Heart Attack Radio. I don't really give a fuck about the like button, but with all you kids seem to give a real flying fuck about the like button. So hit the like button. It really bothers people who hate our show. Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher here, and guess what? You are now listening to the official Heart Attack commercial break. And what am I trying to sell you today? Well, today I'm going to sell you guys something that I actually use. This is something that I drink almost every single day. It's called Hydro Blue, and it's a naturally energized spring water that boosts hydration and energy. It reduces tiredness, fatigue, and other health problems caused by chronic dehydration. If you use the code word HORROR, you're going to get 15% off your order. That's right. Use the code word HORROR, H-O-R-R-O-R, and you're going to get 15% off your order of Hydro Blue. Go to HydroBlue.com today. Use your code word HORROR, get your 15% off, and start drinking some really kick-ass water. But you know what, guys? It's not just all about selling you stuff. One of the great things about Heart Attack is I love giving a shout-out to people that have helped me or people that are helping the community, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to my friend John, who owns Galco's Soda Pop Stop here in Highland Park. Now, you've been hearing a lot of stories about me getting involved in local politics and taking it to the man to keep our city streets for the people. Anyway, I've been doing that with John. John's really helped me out. He's really introduced me to a lot of the business leaders of the community, and he's helped introduce me to city councilmen. He's been just fantastic. So he owns the most kick-ass soda pop shop you can find. So I want you to go to his website, which is sodapopstop.com. That's S-O-D-A-P-O-P-S-T-O-P, sodapopstop.com. Now, I don't get a cut of it. I'm not getting paid for that. I just think he's fucking cool, and his shop rocks. So if you want to find a rare soda pop, a rare beer, go to sodapopstop.com. Tell him Hart Fisher sent you.
All right, so Jillian got to Nerd Rage for the last segment. So
it wasn't a again, it wasn't nerd rage. It was more bringing information because it's just, it's ridiculous. I'm not pissed about it. It's just more really, and I didn't even get to a lot of other stuff on it because there's just so much information on this. So before you guys start sending things, be like, you forgot this, or, you know, there's also this. I realize it just, there's so much. Couldn't get to it in the segment.
So now we're going to talk about something. It tangentially goes back to something Jillian and I talked about in a way early episode of What the Fuck. Remember, Jillian, that woman that I don't even remember how many kids she had, but the one where she just would not stop having kids and the court even had to ask her, like, are you pregnant again when you're in court? Remember that lady?
Yeah, she's like, the government should pay for my kids.
Somebody needs to pay for my kids. Yeah. Well, now we have the gender swap of that. We have Orlando Shaw, a 33-year-old who has, the numbers are a little skewed here. The state says he has 22 children with 14 different women. He says he has 18 children with 17 different women.
Wait,
so
no, the actual quote was when he was asked how many kids he has, he says roughly 18.
Yeah, roughly.
Exactly,
because
you can, what he said.
Isn't it sad when you can round off the number of kids you have?
I have roughly zero. Not really sure. I have a cat, so 0.5 kid.
This guy cannot keep it in his pants. He just keeps fathering child after child after child after child. Now,
I think his eldest is like 16.
Yeah, but here's where the problem comes in. Not only does he have no job, he owes $7,000 a month in child support. Now, obviously, even with the best paying job, you're not going to be able to make $7,000 worth of child support a month.
He should get a porn job. He likes fucking. Just saying.
The state has to pick up this tab and pay for all these, however many numbers of children there actually are in this.
And that's weird because in a lot of states, if someone doesn't pay child support, they face jail time. Like,
well, he is too, because he's being sued by the state to... Basically, you're going to jail or you're going to come up with this money.
Right. But I know a lot of states where they don't even supplement. They're just kind of like, all right, well, we'll go after the guy. But I don't know of a whole lot of, well, I mean, I don't obviously know the laws in every state, but I know of the few that I do, that that's how it's handled. It's not, okay, we'll pay it for you.
In this case, it may be due to the volume that there are so many kids that if this guy cannot make the child support payments, that these are kids who will be going hungry, who will not get new clothes
if the
government does not step in, though.
They don't talk a lot about the mothers, and obviously this is not a one-sided thing.
No,
you know,
it's not at all.
Both parties approved of no birth control. Whether they didn't have anything from any of the mothers, so it's unknown whether they knew how many kids he had. So on the other side of it, you have these moms that can't support their children either. So I would like information the other side as well.
And now here's the thing. Here's the reason that this is the most offensive thing to me. Not that this guy did it and he can't pay for it. That's offensive. There's the fact that he won't get a job because he says his long criminal record, he has a criminal record a mile long, his long criminal record stops him from getting a job, so he just stopped trying. But he's blaming the system for not helping him to blame the system. You
now,
see what I mean?
He did say he plays the hell out of the Tennessee lottery and that he plans hoping to win it big. So he's got money to like play the hell out of the lottery.
I wish you were joking. I really do. I wish you were joking about that.
A lot of people do that where they don't have the means, but they play the lottery because they're hoping to win big. The same type of people will go to Vegas in the hopes that they will win gambling.
He keeps digging himself into the hole. Okay, so I can't pay for my kids. The state has to do it. I can't get a job because, you know, the man keeps me down by constantly arresting me for shit, and now they're coming after me for this child support thing, so that's one more reason I can't get a job. So he keeps trying to get state benefits. Then there's the fact that he doesn't even care. You look in the video, he's jovial about it. He's just, this is all fun to him. This is not my problem.
Yeah, this is kind of the opposite end of what we've been talking about with welfare and unemployment, where the bad examples of the people that don't give a fuck. You know, and he's talking about, you know, well, he never miscounts his luck, and hopefully, you know, he'll get on the lottery, and that is what he's aspiring to. I will say, like, all right, long time coming. He is voluntarily going to get snipped and get fixed.
Probably at state expense.
Probably. There is also something that I'd like to know that the interviewer didn't ask that I would have asked. When did he realize how many kids he had? Like, was it a situation? I'm not giving excuses. I'm just genuinely
curious.
By the
fact that he doesn't know, he has roughly 18 kids.
Right.
I don't think he ever realized how many kids he had.
Well, it's like, did he find out about it when, like, oh, well, shit, I have, you know, 12 kids or something all at once? That's unsaid. Not that that's an excuse, but that's just something I'm curious about. He did go in, the interviewer was like, well, can you name them? And he was like, yeah, I can name them. He's like, all right, do it. And the guy kind of paused. He starts naming all these names that are alternations of his own name, Orlando. So he's like, I named all my kids. So it's like, all right, well, if you named all your kids, if that's true anyway, because he could have just been rolling off names to, quote unquote, prove that he knows the names of his kids. You know what I'm saying?
I believe Will Hunting did the same thing.
Yeah, so if you named all of your children, as you say, then all right, you knew about them from day one. But at the same time, he goes back and says, well, you know, I was young between, I think he said like 17 and 19 or whatever time frame when he was young. So Lord knows when he found out he had kids, but obviously didn't care because he keeps doing it. And obviously these women don't care. So, yeah, that's that.
Well, and I know how cruel what I'm about to say comes off, because the kids are the innocent victims in this. There's no doubt about that. They're the ones who are losing out. But there needs to be a price to pay. The state cannot keep enabling people like this. They cannot keep paying for this and just going, well, we don't want the kids to suffer, so you get a pass. There has to be a cutoff point where some state says, you know what? If you can't pay for the kids' child support, then too bad. The fucking kids don't eat. A stance has to be taken. But then you get leeches like this. You know, with all I've talked about with welfare, how people are seen as leeches. It's because of people like this who are leeches on the system. At what point do you say, I will not put up with this anymore?
Wait, how many mothers was it?
Roughly between 14 and 17.
Okay, the state so then says he knew 14. He had fucking kids, though. Sorry, I'm going to retract my statement, because obviously if you've got mothers with multiple children of yours, you knew.
Yeah, so I am saying that the state needs to stop enabling this fucker. Put him in jail, put those kids in the foster system so they can find a real fucking family. I know how right-wing that makes me sound. But at some point, it has to stop.
On the other side, the argument can be made, did the moms know about the other moms? Because you can't necessarily assume that he was completely honest. Obviously, they know now. And you have, you know, mothers that have multiple children by him. At the same time, if they don't know, and I'm not saying, it's so hard because it's not necessarily a blame thing on the mothers. Because
they have to take their culpability, though, too.
They do. But I'm just saying, if they didn't know he's got 18, 22 kids and they're looking at it as like, hey, I have your three children. You owe me child support. I can't do this. You know, you would think after the first, it's like, well, shit, I can't do this. Use fucking birth control. He's come out and said that, you know, he was young and reckless and didn't use it. So, yeah, it is on them. I don't think the children should be punished. That is not their fault. This is just such an insane situation. But I don't think the children deserve to be punished.
And you know what? In all honesty, I do agree with you on that. But I just think at some point somebody needs to. This fucker, Orlando Shaw, is using his kids as a shield to not have to work, to not have to pay child support, and to just go out and fuck any woman he wants. He is using and abusing the system, and he is using his kids as a personal shield. At some point, the state needs to step in, take those kids from the mothers, because like I said, they are culpable in this. Put them in foster care where they can maybe find a real family that will actually not use them.
Okay, here's the thing, though. If none of the moms knew about the other moms, and you're talking maybe there's 2, 3, 4 kids, yeah, that's too many. You know your situation. I'm not going to say that they're blameless. However, I don't, you know, we talk about all the time with people, we don't know their situation. They could have a job, but if you've got three or four kids and you thought, you know, well, I'm in a relationship, this guy's with me because he sounds like a player. And I'm not saying player as in obviously, you know, he's a man slut. He sleeps around a lot. All right. Player as in, you know, you hear all the time about people be like, well, I didn't know, you know, that he had another family. You've got people with multiple families that don't know about each other. So in a situation like that, I don't think that the kids deserve to be taken away. I don't believe that it's all these mothers got together and be like, oh yeah, you know, and they have fucking family reunions with all these kids. Hopefully they know now, because if they're in the same area, these kids are going to be going to school together. So I, Lord knows, there's not a whole lot of information. I wish the interviewer would have asked questions. It seemed like it was a more pandering, because this guy is a character. He is.
Oh, and the guy is, like I said, nothing is seriously. Here are some of his quotes.
He's jovial and just, yeah.
I was just young and ambitious and loved women. You can't knock no man for loving women. What I didn't know when I turned 33, everything that I did from 16 to 18 is biting me now. He is making himself the victim. That's what pisses me off. He's not the victim.
But yeah, the interviewer, you know, and he was kind of smiling. It was like pandering. It was kind of like, I really want to know more information on this, and it's not out there. And, you know, he asks him, he's like, so the ladies like you? And it's like, obviously, the dude's like, you know, got fucking 18, 22 kids. He's like, the ladies don't like me. They love me. Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? You know, and I mean, this guy is just fucking jovial as hell. And
this guy is the reason that Republicans and right-wingers look at the welfare problem as the problem that it is. These people that do this, these leeches on society that do abuse the system, keep in mind, they only make up maybe 5% of the people on welfare. Most of the people on welfare are honest people who need help. Then there are the people that, I don't want to work. Pay for me.
In defense of like, oh, take the kids away. Again, if you're a mom and you've got, you know, one or three kids, yeah, it's your fault. You didn't use contraception. If the mom is working, trying to make ends meet and can't, and obviously, you know, didn't know how many kids he has, I don't necessarily think that the kids should be taken away if the mom is making a conscious effort. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not defending and saying, like, oh, you're innocent, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be having four or five kids if you know you can't.
I have this weird suspicion just based on him, the way he carries himself, and the fact that the state is having to pay for all these kids, that these are moms who can't make it without the child support. If it comes down to it, the child will go hungry if the state does not step in. And that's what these leeches look for. They are exploiting a weakness in the system.
I'm just saying, we can't assume that all the mothers are. I'm sure maybe some of them are. Who knows? Because there's no information.
There's enough
about
of them.
Right. I'm just saying, you can't assume that they are like him and just leeching off stuff. Because if you've got a few kids, even if you're a single mom and you have one kid, depending on your job, I mean, they could have a job for all we know. You know, they could be trying to make ends meet. Yeah, they had too many kids, but I don't think the kids necessarily deserve to be taken away. These could be good parents. You don't know. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know. There's so many what ifs here. I am not defending definitively. I'm just saying, I don't like when we don't have all of the information. I don't like to assume. So that's why a lot of times I play devil's advocate on this and kind of try and look at all situations. That's what I want to say on that.
Since you pimped the Facebook page at the beginning of the show, where can people find you?
We'll pimp it again, just in case you forgot or if you missed the first segment because you didn't want to hear me talk about the Xbox One. Facebook.com/talkwhat. If you want to pay attention to the What the Fuck Facebook page on Facebook as myself, Jillian Sarowski, Twitter @TheMistressJ. And I'm here and there on GeekJuiceMedia.com as well as TheCinemaSnob.com.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Find the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com, and I'm also a contributor to the same Geek Juice Media. Since you started the show, would you like to end the show, my dear?
Like with what?
Never mind.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.